This podcast is sponsored by Silicon Prairie Ventures, providing innovative software solutions for a diverse range of problems.
Gonna take a sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease.
Welcome to Footprints, a podcast series archiving family and community stories and making connections between the past and the future. You just listened to the dulcet tones of the Taylor sisters singing that timely classic, Sentimental Journey, an appropriate song for this podcast series. Today's episode, the first in this brand new podcast, will focus on the lives of the three Taylor sisters as well as that of their brother. You will meet these four wonderful siblings and learn about their early lives, and in particular, you will hear of their connections to music. In subsequent episodes, you will learn more about these four fascinating people, and we hope that as you listen to their stories, you will be prompted to recall stories of your own family, many that may be similar to the ones you hear from the Taylors. The purpose of the Footprint series is to capture and record the stories of our families and communities so that they can be shared with others, both current and future generations. While these stories are specific to the Taylor family, you should find some similarities to your life stories that might help transport you back to those times in your past. Now sit back and enjoy stories from the Taylor family.
Well, as I mentioned to you, this is the first in our Footprints family series. I'm talking with the Taylor family. Actually, I'm not talking with them. I'm going to get them started, and they're going to do the work. I am confident that they will keep this thing moving. My only fear is that I'll be here until 3 or 4 in the morning, and because I think they've got a lot to talk about. We will go around to start with and just have you introduce yourselves to anybody who happens to be listening, and then I'll maybe throw a little seed out there to get you started, and we'll see where we go. So why don't we start over here with David?
Okay. Hello, I'm David Taylor, the youngest of four siblings, the son of George Oliver and Martha Taylor, and here to talk to my favorite sisters and also Bobby.
And I remember when David was born, he already had three daughters, but I remember him calling friends and saying, "I'm a father."
Yep.
That's right.
He was so glad to have a son.
Mm-hmm. I am Jenny Beth and Taylor Baker, and I am the oldest of the four siblings, so that I got to rule the roost. Well, not really, but I realize I'm hearing from my siblings that they kind of watched what I did, and now I'm thinking, that may not be so good. But anyway, it's been a happy experience to have three siblings. I love them all.
I am Bobby Jean Martis. I was the baby until David came along. Ruined everything for me. I'm still struggling with that. I now live in Oklahoma with five children, and I have 11 great-grandchildren we counted last night, so life is good. Glad to be here.
And I'm Mary Jo Taylor Moss. Jenny Beth and I were born in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes.
And Bobby was born in Oklahoma, and David was born in Georgia. So we were all Southern. That's why we have double names. Mm. And David's correct middle name, which he didn't tell us, is
Carson.
Yes, named for our great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. Our grandfather.
I was named
Claude
for
Carson.
Both of my grandfathers.
Claude yes, Carson.
Yes.
David.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you were.
And I thought it would be interesting to talk about when our father was born, what happened.
Yeah.
Why he didn't live with his mother and father growing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, his birth mother died
yes
within a week or so mm-hmm after birth. And so they found a wet nurse in the community to keep him fed. And his father, C.C. Taylor, moved to Oklahoma, to Enid. And Daddy stayed with grandparents on the farm in northern Missouri, Carroll County, Missouri.
Yes.
So he didn't move to Enid to be with his father until he was a teenager.
Correct, yes.
And he had a stepmother by then.
Two stepsisters.
Oh. Yes.
Right. And his father's name was Claude Carson.
Then
he was a professor at Phillips University, and in the first graduating class, isn't this what we heard? And then turned around and started teaching in the Bible college.
Yes.
Right.
Church history.
Yes. And theology. Old Testament.
And that was his whole career.
Right.
It was.
And he had a wooden leg. Do you remember?
No.
He did. He had a wooden leg.
I think from his knee down.
Uh-huh. Well,
from, yeah.
Well, I don't think that counts. Only from the knee down. That's not 50%.
No.
Sorry. He had half a foot. I mean, half a leg.
I guess I'll have to take that back.
That would be easier than from the knee up.
I'm glad you reminded us of that.
I'm a medical historian, so what can I say?
I remember only meeting Grandfather Taylor once. I was 9 years old, and we came to Enid to celebrate Christmas here. And I had gotten a brand new flannel shirt for a Christmas present, but in Oklahoma it was still too hot at Christmas time, and I was so disappointed. But their house was right across the street from the university.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go in across the street and played ball on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only time I remember ever seeing Granddaddy.
That's interesting.
I think, David, you were the only grandchild, only grand boy, grandson, right.
Uh-huh.
Because his other daughter had three daughters.
Daughters, that's right.
And mother and daddy had three daughters, and you were the only grandson.
I had not realized
that's
that.
Right.
I didn't know
the only one.
Right.
Hmm.
That still makes him special then, doesn't it?
Yes.
Very.
Well, I'm going to go back to Dad.
His
birth mother's name was?
Jenny.
Jenny Rowe.
And she was beautiful.
Yeah. And a musician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always felt so sad when I saw her photograph.
I know.
Yes.
And
so sweet.
I thought that he never knew her.
I know.
He never got to know her.
Yeah.
And he tried to find information about her family, and he searched and searched, and the records were hard
to come. Oh, I didn't know that,
come.
Because I've tried and tried, and
I could not find. He tried.
Isn't that curious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she happened to be living in that community, obviously, mm-hmm. and must have had parents there, I think. I don't know.
The fact that he mystery. Was born there, that
right.
she must have mm-hmm. had her pregnancy right there
right.
in Carroll County.
And I think about his life on the farm.
I do, too.
I remember him tell the story about every Saturday they'd hook up the mule or the horse to the wagon and go 5 miles to town.
Hmm.
And it was an all-day trip.
Hmm.
It was 5 miles. You shopped, and you came back and buy a mule. And this is the man that, but by... 30 or 40 years later, he was flying around the world in airplanes.
Yes, so
right.
That's to see
he
the
was born in, what, 1901?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. And he went on to become, to get his graduate degree at Yale and become prominent in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ and Christian education.
Right.
And Mother was always the supporting person. She was the accompanist, the pianist, and he was the soloist.
Well, tell how they got met. How they met.
Yeah. I don't know how they met.
He was doing his vocal recital,
right?
And she played for him. She was his accompanist.
Right.
There in Enid.
In Enid,
at Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they married the day that she graduated from college, undergraduate,
mm-hmm.
had given her piano recital,
mm-hmm.
and got married that afternoon.
That same day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Something. And then they went on to Wichita on a train
mm-hmm.
that night. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember.
No, I don't know much about
they
that.
They ever had a honeymoon.
No.
Why Wichita?
He must have had a position.
He already, so that he graduated a year before her. So that must have been his position.
Probably so.
Right.
I don't think I ever knew much about that.
Me neither. Mm.
But you know, I felt that we still saw in him, the farmer part. He loved growing. He loved having a garden.
He did.
And I just felt like he had some of that from his childhood that he kept through all of his adult years when he was home long enough to do that. That was a problem when he traveled. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can we touch? I'm sorry, I felt the pause.
We're ready.
So, can we go back just a little bit? You're touching a little bit on the history with the Disciples of Christ Church.
Yes,
that's the one that I heard a story a while back that has fascinated me ever since. How many generations do the Taylors go back with the Disciples?
Six.
Six.
Mm-hmm.
That's before Stone Campbell, isn't it? I mean,
Did
they invite him over to get this whole thing started?
I've been able to trace it back through our maternal grandmother, to the two people that were in that Cane Ridge gathering, Zerelda Wilson and her father, Hamilton Wilson. We've seen their names on a list of people who were there at that meeting. And she married a camel, and that's how the camel name came into our family.
Campbell, C-A-M-B.
Yes, but not related to the originators of our denomination. In fact, we tried that, to find that one time, when I was working on genealogy for a few years, and posted an inquiry about Zerelda Wilson, such an interesting name. And sure enough, I got a response from someone who knew her and knew about her. And it turned out that he was descended from her husband. I cannot think of his name. It was James Campbell. I cannot recall his first name. He descended from the first wife, and Zerelda was the second wife. I had not known that. So he sent me the list of all of his generations. But he also inquired about whether these camels were related to the originators of our denomination, and we never could find any. We even found the children's names, and nothing matched.
Because Mother's mother was Campbell.
Yes.
Before she married Donaldson.
That's right. Yeah. So it goes back that many generations, which means then that our children, who are still a part of the Christian Church, are seventh generation.
Yeah.
And now the grandchildren who are still a part of the disciples are eighth generation.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
So can you talk about Grandmother Taylor's mom? I mean, Grandmother Taylor's side. You've talked about grandparents, but you've talked about Grandfather Taylor's side. I'd like to hear more about Mother Taylor's side.
About Hattie. Harriet.
Have you met them? And what do you remember about them?
Don't know as much.
Okay.
Really don't know as much. I know that our Grandmother Taylor's father was the, what did they call it at that time, the General Secretary of the State of Oklahoma.
He died. D.Y. Donaldson?
D.Y. Donaldson.
Right. He was State Secretary of Oklahoma.
Yes. And he died of cancer when I was 11 days old. And I was told that, of course, in those days, when a mother gave birth, she was kept in bed for some time. They did not tell her about his death for a long time. But he died when I was 11 days old of cancer.
He spent some time, he took the family to Puerto Rico. He was appointed prohibition officer during the prohibition days, and they spent some time in Puerto Rico. And Mother was a teenager. Aunt Mary Alice, the youngest, was not allowed to go. She stayed in Oklahoma.
I didn't recall that, yeah.
But Mother talked about coming back to the United States through the Panama Canal in 1920, I believe. And then Granddaddy built two residences in Enid, one of them close to the campus, so she could border students to help her survive, have an income.
Mm-hmm.
And so our grandmother, Donaldson, lived in one of those places until she died.
Right. Yep.
So,
and I recall Mother saying that during those years in Puerto Rico, It was a short time, but she was, I guess, a teenager, mm-hmm. and she was being pinched by the boys of her age. Something she
said she was. I remember her saying she was a little chubby, and they liked the chubby girls. Pinch her.
Yeah.
Did they say where?
They pardon?
Did she say where they pinched her?
No, she did not. No.
And I did not inquire.
This, by the way, is a PG-rated podcast.
Sorry about that.
But, you know, as I've been able to get a little bit more information about our grandfather, D.Y. Donaldson, even before that time in Puerto Rico, it seemed to he was quite willing to move every few years. They traveled a lot, mm-hmm. and he would change ministries mm-hmm. rather frequently. It was a curious thing. About him, yeah.
I think they were in Denver, Colorado once mm-hmm. because I worshipped in a church there once, and he was a former pastor.
Is that right?
I'm a minister.
Didn't know that. Yeah. Right.
And speaking of that, his name is on a plaque in one of the churches in Enid as one of the founding ministers of Davis Park Christian Church.
Mm.
So, yeah, he had his name everywhere.
Yep.
Wayne did some research while we were talking. My husband, Wayne, has grown up in Wichita, Kansas, and he discovered or revealed that our father was on staff at Wichita Central Christian Church, which was the church where he grew up as a teenager. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh.
Interesting.
He probably wasn't the minister. He probably was... Director of Christian Education.
Probably, because that was always his interest.
So during the years of the Depression, he had a position in Fort Worth, Texas, at a huge church where he was the youth pastor, Education.
Yes.
And so Jenny Beth was born there, and I was born there. And there's something about our baby things that...
They had a fire, and they lost everything. Yeah.
One of the stories Mother told was that they had just purchased a sewing machine, mm-hmm. and they were making the monthly payments. They lost the machine, but they had to continue the payments. Mm-hmm. That was very painful, very painful. So they struggled financially. They really had quite a struggle.
And then Daddy came home from a youth conference to learn that he'd been let go.
Yep.
The Depression.
The church couldn't
because of the Depression
afford him. Right. So what did he do?
And I don't know how he managed to get admission to Yale, but
that's where he went, back to graduate school.
Back to school
in Yale.
And left Mother in Oklahoma because they couldn't afford for both of them to live.
That's right. We lived...
Because she was pregnant with me.
Yes. We lived it with him for a while in Beacon Falls. Was that after you
that
were born?
Afterwards.
That was afterward. Mm-hmm. Okay. We first went in the fall and rented an apartment. And then realized that no mother was expecting, and realized they could not afford that. So she came back to Oklahoma.
With you two, with her.
And with us. So we all came back, and Dad spent that rest of that year in a men's dorm. But again, financially, it hurt because they had a lease on that apartment, and the owner insisted that they continue paying. So that's how we were. Spent that time in Oklahoma for those months. And then the following year, we were all together in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. And I remember her telling about the trip home.
Oh, really?
On the train.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
It was so crowded, she didn't have a seat. And she had to carry Bobby in her arms. And you toddlers, I guess, were...
Oh, my God.
Were three and four.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So the whole trip. I think
stood. Imagine.
Another long trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you three are 4 years apart.
Yes.
Exactly. I come in in between, but mm-hmm. you were all born on leap year, too.
That's true.
The odd one.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was very close to leap year day.
Yeah, that's right. 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
2 days. Mm-hmm.
End of February.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would have made you about 20 now, right?
It would. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'd still have white hair.
I think our love of music and our ability to use music comes from both Mother and Daddy.
Definitely.
Daddy had such a wonderful tenor voice.
Mm-hmm.
And
And mother played so
And he, while he was a student, he was giving lessons, wasn't he? Even
I
before he went back to
sure,
Enid, I remember hearing about his riding a horse to give piano lessons to people.
Okay. I didn't know
younger
that.
People around.
I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he
I'm
played
so
the piano.
Grateful that they taught us to sing and to sing harmony.
Right.
And it's really a treasure.
They had music. They invested in music that had the three-part harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, David, you were too little to... you didn't have a bass voice yet. So
well, it wasn't a bass
so
at that time.
We learned a lot of songs. Three-part harmony. And
right.
At times we would change
yes.
which part we sang.
Uh-huh.
And even the date will start a song and I'll say, who sang what part? We can't tell. We don't remember. So.
Right.
But that does beg the question, Dave, do you have any musical talent?
Yes.
It's debatable.
No. No.
I mean, I know the answer in these three ladies' right. cases. But yeah. Do you sing? Do you play an instrument? Do you just...
I've sung. Yeah. I resisted lessons. They gave me ocarina lessons and recorder lessons.
How about... Trombone
violin
lessons.
Really, violin?
Violin lessons and piano.
Mm-hmm.
And but finally, well, there's a long story involved with this. Because we didn't have a lot of money, Christmas was made special by creating games around the Christmas mm-hmm. celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, Dad would create
a treasure hunt
with a clue on the Christmas tree for each of us. And the clue would send you to some place in the house, which you'd find another clue and send you someplace else. And finally, you'd end up at location where there'd be a special present. So by stringing those out, it made it very special. And one year, my present was a trombone that came with lessons.
But the case was tattered and torn. It wasn't a new trombone.
But,
I remember that.
But I came back to the living room to meet the family and say, thanks, I think.
What I remember you saying. Yeah.
I think that was intended, yes.
What I remember you saying was thanks anyway.
Yeah. It gets better all the time. Yeah.
I mean, you wanted to show appreciation, but you were so disappointed with this. It's supposed to be the special
present. But I did
present.
Take the trombone, yes. Take the lessons, and I joined the band and was in the marching band, enjoyed my junior and senior year a lot.
Well, tell about your singing in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in a special group, an a cappella group at our church,
right.
And also the church choir.
Right.
You've
appeared
in opera?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the chorus?
I tried out for the chorus that my wife was in. It was a very special chorus. I tried out twice and didn't make it. But we had a friend... who was also in the chorus, who said, well, you know, we have an opera that it has a very big cast and they really need a lot of singers, especially tenors. So I said, oh, okay, I'll try it for that. So I did, and I made it, and I spent 10 years singing in operas in North Carolina, right.
Well, yes, he sings, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay, that's
And you had to
good.
Learn some other languages. Sing. Oftentimes, there are other languages.
Oh, always. Yeah, always. Usually Italian,
mm-hmm.
occasionally French, once Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Interesting experience. I think so.
Well, they didn't learn it. You just, it's I just, know. They were really just sounds to me. I knew what the sense was, but I didn't know the language, so I was just having to learn what sound went with what note. Yeah.
Why were you in North Carolina?
Betsy made me come with her. Now, we met in New York, and I had just graduated from Columbia University in School of Library Service. So I got a job at the University of Rhode Island. We lived there in Kingston for 4 years, and I felt kind of at a dead end in reference service there. The people ahead of me were very young, and we're going to stay there forever. And I looked for other opportunities, found a job at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. We were there for 5 years. Again, I felt like D.Y. Donaldson, that it was time to move on. So I really liked the undergraduate library at Michigan State and applied for that job. I was a serials librarian, which is a really, really tough job. And so I wanted to be the head of the undergraduate library there, but they had an acting head and she got the job. So I looked around for similar jobs, and there was one at University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we moved to.
Worked out beautifully, didn't
in
it?
19, mm. Yeah, 1975. So then we have lived here since and retired there.
Yes.
And she's followed me every place we've gone, which is very, very nice of her.
Yes.
She did not like coming back to North Carolina, though.
Oh, really?
Well, she grew up in West Virginia, and she wanted to get out of the South as long as she could remember.
So Michigan and Rhode Island were more interesting.
Right.
That's interesting.
What part of West Virginia?
Beckley.
Yep.
The heart of West Virginia.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to Footprints, the Taylor Family. If you haven't subscribed to the Footprints podcast series yet, please do so, and make sure to listen to the other episodes in this series. Also, be sure to subscribe to Firehouse Irvington, another in the Footprints series of podcasts. These podcasts are brought to you by Bread on the Water Media and Audio Diner Studios.
Cassette, a metal journey, gonna say.